Let me ask you a question. Why are you here today? Why are you here today? Anybody want to answer that? You know what, Reuben? I know that, and I'm really glad. How do we get God more in our life? Okay. How do we get more God in our life? What is it needs to be different than what we're doing right now? Because if we need more, that means there's something we're doing or our choices are keeping us where we are. How do we go forward with God? How do we get more of Him? Yes, sir? I mean, what's got to be different is what I'm saying. What's got to be different in our lives now than was last week? It's got to be all about Him. Good question. Good thought. What are you going to say, Rick? Getting out of the way and letting God. Yep. How be willing to hang out with Him. Good. How do we get more of God? You know what? I was thinking something along that lines this week. Sometimes, do you ever get down or discouraged, or you look at your life and you're feeling depressed? You ever get that? You want to know a real cure for that that works like instantly? Forget yourself and go find somebody else to help. Do something for somebody else. When you're focused on yourself, that's selfishness. You understand? Now, who would like the virtue? Who would like the virtue of selfishness in their life? I just want to be selfish. That's my goal. I want to be selfish. That's your goal? What's the opposite of being selfish? Okay, selfless. But how about this? Others-minded. Others-minded. Is that in the Bible? Man, I'm glad you asked. Turn over to, where is that? I'm looking at it. James chapter 1, I believe it's verse 26. Let's go there. Before we read this verse, I want to challenge you with something. Have you ever met somebody who went to church, who lived by rules, who maybe they knew a lot about the Bible, but when you were around them, it did not encourage you, it did not lift you up. You just felt like they were always like trying to straighten you out or anything like that. You ever felt that? You ever experienced that? You see, it's not just knowing, reading the Bible. Have you ever watched TV and they show this person quoting scripture, but they're the bad guy? Have you ever seen that in movies? They're quoting scripture. They're talking about the Bible, and yet they're the bad guy. Because just because you've read this book, and just because you've memorized some of it or know some of it, it doesn't help you if you're not living it. Look at James 1:26. You didn't help him find that thing yet? You know, when I first got in church and the preacher would say, open your Bible to such and such, by the time I would find it, church was done. You know? So I started right in the beginning. I had to memorize where all of these books were. Okay, James, right there. See? James. chapter 1, verse 26. Right there, okay? Are you there? So let's, before we even read it, let's just ask God, God, please help me to see and understand what you want me to see and understand in this verse. Yes? Okay, is that your prayer? God, please help me to see and understand what you want me to see and understand in this verse. I want my life to be changed by it. Not just I went to church, you know, mark up another one. I got another little mark on my calendar where I went to church. It's not just going to church. It's getting something out of it. Look at James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious. I'm sorry, that's not where I want. Verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. This is the only positive place in the Bible where it talks about religion. Every time God talks about somebody being religious or religion, he's against it because it's just a bunch of rules. This is the only place where he talks about it in a positive way. Pure religion and undefiled or true before God and the Father is this. Now watch, he's going to tell us two things. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Number two, to keep himself unspotted from the world. He said, if you really want to be religious, you really want to have true religion, number one is to be others-minded. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. To meet others' needs. To be there for others. When I look at, like, I don't want to take away somebody's glory, somebody's reward. Jesus, I don't want to go there. It's caring about other people. It's reaching out beyond yourself. It's laying your life down to meet the need of another. Moms know that usually a lot better than dads do. Moms are laying their lives down usually more. It's like a man's work is from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. You heard that? Well, it's true. Okay? And us men, we go to work and we're supposed to supply the need. We're supposed to support our family. We're supposed to go and take care of our family. That's what it teaches over in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. And we'll go there, and then from then on, you see it. But he says, pure religion, true religion with God, to have a true right relationship with God, is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. The principle is to be others-minded, to care about others, to not just care about yourself. The hardest people for me to be around are those that are selfish, just self-focused. If you can't get their attention off themselves, then they're going to wallow in that self-pity. They're going to wallow in that selfishness. You don't want to be around them. They're just, I don't like the word sucking, but they're just sucking the life out of you. I don't know a better way to say it. They're just bringing you down. I don't like being around it. What I do like is to be around somebody that is caring about others, that is meeting somebody else's need. A lady one time in church, true story, lady was going through depression, having a hard time in her life. People had talked to her. People had prayed with her. People tried to help her. Nothing was working. She had talked to her friends. Nothing was working. She went to her preacher and said, "Preacher, I've been in depression. I can't seem to get out of it. What do I do?" And he said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to bake a pie and take it to your neighbor." And she's like, but I don't want, he said, just bake a pie and take it to your neighbor. She goes, I'm asking you how to get, he says, bake a pie. Why did you come to me and ask? Sometimes I wonder that when people come and ask Sue and I stuff. Why did you ask? You just argue. You don't do what we, you know. So go bake a pie and take it to your neighbor. That's all he said to her. She went, baked a pie, took it to her neighbor. He saw her a week later or whatever, and she was just glowing. And she had been in depression for quite a while. And she said, preacher, I did what you said. I went and baked the pie. I took it to my neighbor. And she said, I sat down. I listened to her and I talked with her. And she said, I got my focus off myself. And I started caring about somebody else. We have needs and God cares about those needs. I'm not telling you that it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. What I'm saying to you is we need to learn how to pray and trust in God. We need to learn to take our needs to God, because when we focus on them, it doesn't cure it, does it? Just us focusing on it and getting down and depressed, that doesn't seem to take care of it, does it? When you have problems and you worry about them, does worrying help? I know prayer helps, but worrying doesn't help. When we have health issues, when we have marriage issues, when we have children issues, when we have work issues, life, health, whatever it is, God cares about you and He wants you to trust in Him. Do you pray? Do you talk to God? What if I just gave you this one thought, one question? I dare you to write it down. And it goes like this. Do you believe that God moves at the sound of your voice? Do you believe that God moves at the sound of your voice? Because if you don't, no wonder you don't pray. I know when I talk, God moves. I know when I talk, God listens and He moves. I know it. I don't think it. I don't hope it. I don't wish it. I don't feel it all the time. But I know it. I know it and I do it. I pray to Him about everything. I pray all the time. I'm talking to my customers and a customer will tell me their need and immediately I just start praying. And I say, hang on. Wait a minute. Can I be your friend? Whatever. And then I just start praying. And almost every single time they say, thank you. That helped me. Thank you. Normally they're crying. I can hear them. Their voice is cracking. Thank you. I needed that. I'm like, wouldn't it be neat if we just loved one another? Wouldn't it be neat if we actually cared about one another? I said, let's let it begin with us. If I said that to Barb, and Barb said, thank you so much. I needed that. I said, well, Barb, wouldn't it be neat if everyone did it? She goes, yeah. And I say, Barb, why don't we just let it begin with you and me? Let's like love one another. Let's pray for one another. Maybe it'll spread. Maybe it'll reach out to other people. One at a time. I want to impact this world for Christ. And God keeps reminding me it's one person at a time. It's caring about one at a time. Go back to that verse. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And then he says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. What that's talking about is being set apart unto God, living a holy life. As God said, be ye holy as I am holy. Be like me. Don't see how close you can get to sin and still be right. Get away from it. Proverbs 4, about verse 14, says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Get away from what you know is wrong. See, like if I was talking to young people today, I'd say that's how it is in school. You got to be careful when you're in school because guys will want to talk about all kinds of stuff, look at all kinds of stuff that's not right. You know, badmouth the teachers, badmouth their parents. And when you start listening to that, it's going to affect how you think. It's going to affect your choices. It's going to affect your attitude, right? And they're all doing it, aren't they? And we've all been there. Well, guess what? They didn't quit because they graduated high school. A lot of them didn't get any smarter just because they graduated high school. They're still as dumb as they were back then. And that's what they're talking about. That's where you'll end up. You want to have true relationship with God. You want to be blessed by Him. Be others-minded. And be separated. Be careful about who you hang around, what you listen to. I'm just talking to you as if we were friends. I'm talking to you about something that would revolutionize your life starting today. I'm talking about something that would help you for the rest of your life. And if you don't own it, you're going to be going through life missing a huge key because God said true religion is these two things. Others-minded. If you're not others-minded, if you're not reaching out besides yourself, if you're always worried about yourself and somebody taking care of you and why don't they care what I think and whatever, don't worry about that. Focus on other people, and when you do that, they're going to care what you think. You're going to see. Things are going to open up for you like they have not done before. I'm going back to my question. Why are you here today? I'm going to give you a thought. It applies to everyone in here, but I'm going to give you a question. Okay? And I want you to think about it. And I want you in the next week or two to come and tell me your answer. Will you do that? Can we make an agreement you do that? I'm sorry, I'll just wait. Will you do that?
Yes.
Okay, one. Yes, two. Yes, three. Yes, four. Yes, five. Okay, there's more people. There's like at least twice as many of that. Six. Anybody else? Seven. Okay. Harvey, you ask me the question, and within the next week or two, I'll come and give you the answer. Are you ready? Now, before I ask the question, I'm going to ask you, do you think I care about you? Do you know, when you come here, you know that you're loved and cared about, we care about you? Do you? Okay. Here's the question. Now, maybe you've already answered this question. But maybe you haven't. So I'm asking the question. Okay? I said this may not apply to you right now. You may have already answered this question. If so, you come to me and tell me, Harvey, I answered that. And then I'm going to probably ask you another question when you tell me that, because that's how I am. But some of you haven't answered this question. If you were to die today and stand before God, and He was to say to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? If you were to die today, and stand before God. And He was to say to you, why should I let you come into heaven? What would your answer be? John? That's good, John. I didn't want you to say it out loud, really, but that's okay. I wanted you to come and tell me. But that's good, John, because that's real good. But I want you to think about the question for a reason. If you don't know the answer to that question, or if that question scares you, You may not be on your way to heaven. Would you rather me let you go to hell and not warn you? Would you rather me let you go to hell and not help you? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. As my dad would say, Maria, I can't hear your head rattle, okay? I want to hear what you have to say, okay? Because people do this. I'm like, I don't know what, you know, talk to me, you know? If you were to die today and stand before God, and God was to say to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? When you come to me individually, each one of you, because we had a deal and you said you'd come to me and answer this question. When you come to me, you could ask me, Harvey, what would your answer be? I'd be glad to tell you what my answer is. Okay? I'm asking you that because what if there's somebody in this room that this week their grandmother passed away? Last week somebody else died that was touching somebody in this building. The week before, somebody else died. When somebody dies, they go out into eternity. Do you think that everybody goes to heaven? Do you? And why do you think you're going? Why do you think you're going? See, I want to help you. I'm not saying it right now. It may make you nervous. It may make you scared. I don't want to think about that. Or you may have an answer. I've asked this question around America over 100,000 times to individuals. And a lot of times the answers I get, they're not in the Bible. Well, I'm a good person. I try to do good things for other people. I go to church. I work hard. I take care of my family. What other answers do we get, Grace? I've never hurt anybody. I've always been good to people. I don't steal. I don't murder. I don't commit adultery. If that was somebody's answers, does that mean they're going to heaven? Have you ever met anybody? Do you know what God's requirement to come into heaven is? Do you know? It's perfection. It is. That's why you have to have Jesus, because he's the only perfect one. And because before that, none of us could be perfect. But we think we're doing good because I help people, I try to be nice, I try to keep all the rules, I have a good attitude when my husband doesn't. All those kind of things, right? I'm merciful. I didn't do to him what I wanted to do when he was late and when he treated me like he did. See, I'm a good person. I didn't kill him. I didn't even hit him. And I could have when he was sleeping. Used a bat. Fixed him. Why did you come to church today? I'm asking you. There's a number of answers, good answers to that question. What's your answer? Why did you come? I'm sorry? Be close to Jesus. Good. What'd you say, Richard? Did you want to say something? Okay. What'd you say? to hear what God's got to say through us to you. Awesome. Yes, Rick? For keeping His commandment. That's right. Okay, good. Yes. Because He wanted you to be here. Okay? That's good. What else? Why did you come today? Why do you come any week or every week? Why do you come? I'm going to challenge you with a thought. Whenever I ask you a question, after you think about it, then ask yourself, what's Harvey's answer to that question? So Grace says, Harvey, why did you come today? I'll tell you why. Because it's God's house. And He invites me. Everybody doesn't invite me into their home. But God does. And there's nobody I'd rather be with than God. I used to have a preacher. He was my pastor. And he used to say to me all the time, Harvey, you're my best friend. And I used to say to him, Preacher, you're my third best friend. And he didn't seem to get it. Because he always said to me over and over again, Harvey, you're my best friend. Harvey, you're my best friend. He wanted to hang out with me all the time. Harvey, you're my best friend. And I would always say to him, because it grieved me. And I said, Preacher, you're my third best friend. I said, Jesus is my best friend. My wife's my second best friend. And you're my third best friend. Now, this is my preacher. And he kept saying to me, Harvey, you're my best friend, even after I said that. And when God moved us out of that church, that preacher got so disillusioned, so hurt by us leaving. I only left because God told me to. God told me we were preaching. We had gone to start a church in Texas. We came back. And we were now starting another church in Ohio. We were preaching around the country, but that was our home church. And God said to me, I'm going to move you to another church that's going to be your home church. And I argued with God for 4 months. Because I said, God, I don't want to leave here. This is my home church. And He said, I know, but I'm going to move you somewhere else. I said, but God, I don't want to go somewhere else. Well, God wasn't like, oh, well, let me change my mind then. You know, God doesn't do that. He doesn't, does he? Well, why do we argue? Are we dumb or what? I'm telling you. You know, I feel like I'm like so dumb in those situations. And I'm like, what was I arguing for? Why didn't I just give His way? My life could have gone smoother sooner, you know? So I go, okay, finally one day I just broke and I'm crying. And okay, God, I'll go wherever. So I went to tell my preacher. I said, Preacher, God just, He's been dealing with me for 4 months that He is going to move us to a new home church. Give me a new preacher. My family and I. I said, Preacher, I don't want to go, but I've been arguing with God for 4 months and He won't change His mind. That's when I finally realized, Hannah, that it doesn't work to argue with God. You know what I mean? And I was already, you know, grown in the faith, started church with somebody, you know, I'm still arguing, you know. And I was crying. I mean, I was definitely moved and crying and saying, I don't want to leave here. But God told me He's going to move us to a new home church. From that moment, the preacher just cut us off. His attitude toward us was completely different. He never wanted to get together anymore. Remember who he said was his best friend? Because he was putting all his love, his hope, his trust in me. Not in God. But he was my preacher. Do you understand? I am not picking on him. I'm not saying he was a bad guy because he's not. I still love him. What I'm saying is, There's things he did not know or understand. There's things that he did not get straight in here or in here. And it hurt him. And so when I followed God, and God said, I want you to go over here, then my family and I moved over here, which was Grand Rapids. That was 1989. And I didn't want to come to the church he sent us to. But it's not my life. I told him, whatever you want, God. And then that preacher and all my grown kids were in his church, my mother-in-law, father-in-law. And that preacher, because he was hurt by us leaving, every Sunday he would get up and he would say stuff against us. Because he was hurt. We talk about what we're full of. Where is our heart? What's going on inside of us? Listen to our words. That's what we're full of. So I asked you that question. If you were to die today and you were to stand before God and he said, why should I let you into heaven? What would the answer be? Let me ask it a little different. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you would immediately go to be with God in heaven? Good, Rick. Good, Steve. For me, ever since July 1st, 1976, I've known that. And nobody even told me. I met Christ. Nobody told me that. I didn't even find that out till a year later that it was in the Bible. But inside, I knew I was going to heaven because I met Jesus. The thing that I want to do with you and the reason that I hope you come here, remember, why did you come here today? Is because, number one, I want you to know Jesus Christ. I want you to know Him. Not know about Him. Not come here to learn more rules. Not come here to get encouragement to make it through the week. All of those things we're going to help you with. But number one goal is for you personally. Now, what if I was able to introduce Juliana to Jesus, but Alden didn't meet Jesus? Or what if I was able to introduce Alden to Jesus, but Juliana didn't meet Jesus? You see, it's not, he doesn't save people in groups. He saves individuals. You have to meet him, you, personally, as an individual. Have to want him, and then you have to come his way. Not your way, his way. We meet him when we realize that we are a sinner, that we are responsible for our sin, and that means we have to get our sin paid for. So that means we owe that sin debt. We, as an individual. I should say. Like Barb. Barb, as an individual, has to realize that. And when Barb comes to a place, or Harvey, or Steve, whoever, and we come to a place of realizing, I've got sin, and it's taken me where I don't want to go, and I see the end of it, where I'm going to end up going. And I can't quit sinning. I try, but it's got a hold on me. It's like I'm a captive to it. When you realize I can't quit, but I don't want this sin. I want the Savior. I want Jesus. I need help. That's when you look unto Jesus. So you could believe, many people in America believe in Jesus here. They know about him. They know, and I could ask them questions and they could go, oh yeah, just like they did with me when I told you six different denominations baptizing me by the time I was 20. Because they would ask me questions about the facts about Jesus. Yeah, I listened. I got it here, but I didn't have Jesus here. I did not meet him. I only knew about him as if he was just another historical figure in a book. Did you ever hear about the General Lafayette? Did you ever hear about General Grant? Did you ever hear about Abraham Lincoln? Did you ever hear about George Washington? Did you ever meet him? But you know about him. But do you know Jesus? See, you know about him. What you got to do is ask God, God, I dare you. This is probably one of the hardest things for you to pray. God, show me my sin. Help me to see it through your eyes. Help me to realize where I'm at. Please show me where I'm at. One day I invited people to come forward at the end of a service, and a number of them came forward. I think it was 5. And I took them over here to talk to them. And as I was talking to them, there was one that was crying. There was one that was brokenhearted. There was one that I could just see God working in their life. The others were sincere. I want God. But when I was talking to them, there was no life happening in them. There was 4 of them. Nothing seemed to be happening. And it's not me running you through saying certain words. You don't need words. You need Jesus. But there was one that God was dealing with. And there was one that person... heart was saying, I need God. I can't keep going on like I am. I am broken over my sin and I don't want this sin anymore. I need help. And that person knew that Jesus was who they needed, but they needed someone to help them get to Jesus. So they came to me. And then I got my wife, because it was a young lady. And my wife and I were able to help that young lady that morning meet Jesus. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know how to live victoriously 24/7. You're going to have problems. You're going to have disappointments. You're going to have troubles and trials. You're going to have people that die and people that are sick, and you're going to get sick, and you're going to have bosses that aren't going to act right, and you're going to have people that aren't going to pay you when they should, and you're going to have all kinds of things. And I want to help you have Jesus in your life so much that I don't want to do it with Barb, so you watch. I'm going to do it with John. Back up a minute, John. Put your leg down. This is Jesus. John's Jesus. I want you to learn how to hang out with Jesus. I want you to learn how to depend on Jesus. I want you to learn how to come to Jesus with everything in your life. One of the reasons that you need to read this book that Barb has in front of her. I like it. You got all these name tags. It makes it easier, doesn't it?
I still have trouble.
I know, but it's easier with those. I want you to read this book so that you let God talk to you every day. You let Him talk to you and get truths inside of you. It's like it's necessary power to make it through each day. And I want to help you learn as time goes by how to get truths in there, like James chapter 1 verse 27. Am I right with God? Well, let's look. Am I others minded? Am I keeping myself unspotted from the world? Am I willing to separate from what's wrong and separate unto God? It's not just getting away from what's wrong. It's getting close, separating yourself unto God. It's getting closer to God. It's taking time to set aside time to read His Word. Setting aside time to come to church, His house. Setting aside time to pray and talk to Him about what's going on in your life. Do you know that if when you read this Word, that it empowers you to believe in God? It says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you hear it, as you read it, as you take it in, it's going to empower you to believe in God, and God can do anything. You can't do anything. I mean, you know what I mean? You can't do everything. I can't do everything, but He can. So I go and depend on Him. Here's Jesus. I got to go back and depend on Him. I need you, Jesus. I can't do it. And see, in the Word, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, religion is you trying to carry God and try to live by His rules. Real relationship is you sitting on His lap and letting Him carry you. Letting Him pick you up and hold you next to His heart and say, I want to carry you through this day. I want to carry you through this week. But you have to choose that you want to be close to His heart. You have to choose. Do you understand? The whole Christian life is about choices. It's choosing. It's first choosing Christ. It's first choosing to believe and admit where you are without Jesus. And then it's choosing Christ. And then it's choosing Him every day. God, I want You. And it's not every day I have to choose Him again to be saved or to go to heaven. It's I choose Him every day because I can't make it through this day without You. I can't make it through this marriage without You. I can't make it through this job without You. I can't make it through the relationships that I have in my life without You. I can't make it when I don't have money or I don't have gas or somebody's got an attitude toward me or somebody's talking about me. I can't make it without God. Because without God, I find myself wanting to have vengeance. I find myself wanting to retaliate. I find myself wanting to backbite and criticize and gossip. Do you understand? Because I'm doing it without God. But if I go to God and I pour it out, Barb picked on me. Jesus, Barb picked on me. She said bad things about me again, Jesus. Then Jesus, I got to help Him be Jesus. Jesus cares about me. You don't care about me? Okay. Jesus cares about me, you see. Put your other arm around me. See, okay. He's hugging me. He's holding me. And you know what's neat? John is like Jesus. Because you know why? Because John isn't telling me to get down. Jesus doesn't tell you to get down. Jesus doesn't say, okay, that's enough now. Go straighten up. He doesn't. He says, Harvey, you hang out here as long as you need. Do you get it? Do you get what I'm saying? Because He cares about you. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Somebody look up Psalm 55:22. Would you? Psalm 55:22. You going to look that up, Hannah? Good. Jesus cares about you. I asked you, because if this question, remember I asked earlier, why did you come here today? You see, I answered that question 36 years ago. When I got saved, It took God 10 months to get me in church. I got saved in Tennessee, told you, went back to Florida, went out to Arizona where I met Sue, and she was from Michigan. That took 10 months to happen. Okay? God got me in church. He invited me to his house. I got in church, and I decided I'm going to be here every time the doors are open because I want to hang out on his lap. Because I need to learn all these things that I'm hearing. I need to learn them. I need to get them in me to help me on my everyday life. I don't want to have to keep running back to the preacher to get the preacher to tell me. In the beginning, I have to run back to him to get him to help me. But I need to learn how to live my everyday life with Jesus. What does it say, Psalm 55:22? Awesome. Read that again.
Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
You see, if you don't answer that question thoughtfully and truthfully, and get God's answer, why am I here today? Then you won't, may not be here next week or next year. Why are you here? Because it's where God wants me to be. He's invited me into his life. Do you remember when you were young? And you liked somebody. I'm talking about before you got married. And don't go start talking about it to your mate. Okay? I remember. I'm just asking you as an individual. You remember when you liked somebody? And you thought you were in love. And you thought you couldn't live without them. And they didn't love you. As a matter of fact, they probably didn't even know you were alive, or that's how you felt. God wants us. He invites us. But is it a one-sided relationship? Do you invite him? He talks to you every day, does he not? Now, maybe you don't know how to hear it, but God talks to you every day. He talks to you by having the sun come up, by giving you power to get out of bed, by anybody that shows you affection, that's God. Because all of us are basically selfish. So anytime somebody shows you affection, that's God. That's somebody giving of themselves. Is it a one-sided relationship? How much of God do you need? How much of God do you want? Invite him every day. I've said, ask y'all this before, how many of you would like to hear God's voice? And everybody in the building raised their hand. And then I say to them, how many of you are reading his voice? Every day, God, I want to hear your voice. Open it up. You need a system to start reading in the book of John. Something else I was thinking about with you this week, because Steve's been coming to me asking me where to read. Read a proverb a day. There's 31 days in a month. There's 31 proverbs. I wonder if there's a clue there. Sue and I did that for 25 years, I think. It's like we just read proverbs every day. I still remember the first day somebody challenged me on that was in Bible college, and it was on the 11th of the month. And the preacher was up there speaking in the college I was in. He goes, "Preacher boys, you want to be wise? Read the book of Proverbs." He said, "There's 31 days a month, and there's 31 Proverbs." He said, and he preached out of Proverbs 11. And when he did that, I decided I was going to start reading Proverbs every day. And then I told my wife. My wife said, "I like that idea." And we both started reading Proverbs, reading one chapter in Proverbs every day. I think there's like 900 Proverbs, okay, in 31 chapters. There's 900, if I remember correctly, somewhere right around there. And we read them over and over, meditated on what we were reading. What is this saying, God? Thinking about it. Whichever ones jump out at you that day, think about them. Write them down on a 3x5 card. Carry them with you through the day. Think about them. What does that mean? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from her. I'm thinking of, what is that? Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. There's a ton of them. And they're, every one of them are light. To give us light in this dark world. To give us light in how to go forward in our daily life. Every one of us, every one of them will bring God into our life. Why are you here today? When I got in church, I had already been saved. And then when God put me in the church and on the other side of the state, Auburn Hills, where, you know, where Sue and I were, I determined, a lady asked me, I, matter of fact, when I first went there, I had just driven in from Phoenix, Arizona, 2,000 miles. And we got here on April 3rd, 1977. And if you go back and look at a calendar, that was on a Sunday. And I got to church about 5 minutes before church was done. And I sat in the back row. And Sue was up on the front row. So I sat in the back row because I didn't want to interrupt. And the preacher was preaching. So I'm sitting in the back row. And then he gave what we would call an altar call. And he invited people to respond to the message. When he invited and people started moving forward, I got up. I went with them. But I stopped about right here. All the people in the church that were seeing me, they probably were thinking I needed to go forward because I had hair down to about here. If you need to see that, I got a picture right in my Bible here. Okay? When I had hair down about here. And I was walking forward, and everybody was probably going, good, he's going to get saved or something. I was already saved. I just wasn't separated yet. And I got forward, and I came here, and here was Sue. And I hadn't seen her in about a month or so. So I started kissing her. She goes, you can't do that in this church. I was like, I couldn't hardly keep my hands off of her, you know? And so I just stood there and hugged her, and they finished doing the altar call. And so my mother-in-law and her friend said, why don't you come over to our house, and we're going to, you know, we'll have something, you know, some cake or pie or whatever. So I go over to their house, this lady's house. Her name is Mary Diachoa. Never forget Mary. And she helped me make a decision. You think I'm in your face? You should have met Mary. Dude. So Sue and I are sitting there and I'm holding Sue's hand and we're about done here. I'm just letting you know. But I just got to tell you the story. It's a good story. I'm holding Sue's hand and I keep hugging her and I keep kissing her. And they're talking to me. And Mary says, are you going to come to church on Wednesday night? And I said, Wednesday night? So you have church Wednesday night too? I said, I didn't even know you had church Sunday night. I mean, when the people told me, I said, where would Sue be? Well, you know, I'm driving back from Arizona. I said, where would Sue be? And she said, oh, she'd be in church. I said, they have church all day? And they said, no, they have church in the morning, and then they have church at night. I said, I never heard of that. He said, yeah. So I went there at church at night, and I thought that was already extreme, going to church twice in one day, you know. So this lady said, are you going to come to church on Wednesday night? And I said, y'all have church Wednesday night too? She said, we have church three times a week. We don't play church around here. We go for God, you know. So you going to be at church on Wednesday night? But she was more like this. You're going to be at church on Wednesday night? You think I can't ask my wife? She goes, mm-hmm. Now, Mary D. really loved God, but she was a real loud outspoken, opinionated woman. If she loved God, she didn't know how to back off. She wasn't cut that way. And I remember thinking, I don't like you, lady. But I had to think about the question. Am I going to be in church Wednesday night? And I made up my mind that night. I said, you know, if the church doors are open, it's God's house, I'm going to be there. Well, we didn't just go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Like, you know, Sunday morning you had the most people. Sunday night you had less. And on Wednesday night you had the faithful few. You know, you might only have 50 or 75 on Wednesday night, but on Sunday morning you have 250, you know. But we started going out on Tuesday night for prayer meeting. And we started going out on Thursday night and Saturday morning for soul winning, going out telling people about Jesus. We just went. We didn't. And when they had work days, whenever the preacher said, we're going to have a work day, can I see volunteers? We were always the first family. And if nobody else showed up, Sue and I and five kids showed up. We were always there. Because it's like I made up my mind, I'm going to be in God's house. Because I want God. I need Him desperately. I'm saying that for your sake, not for my sake. I've already made my individual choice. Do you need more God? I'm not talking about just coming to church. I'm talking about you making a decision. I want God in my life. I'm not going to just be Sunday morning only Christian, you know, for 2 or 3 hours. There's 168 hours in a week. The other 165, I'm just going to go live my way. I want God. I need God. I need Him everything I do. I need Him. If you're a single person, you need Him more than I do. Because you don't have a mate that's there every day. That's one of the reasons that we hug here. Because I don't know if, I don't remember Barb's story, but I only see her as an individual. I don't know John's story, but I only see him as an individual. So I care about him. I want him to be included. I want him to feel someone cares and loves him. We need God. We need to invite him. And it's more, it starts with the words, but it goes into choices, like reading his word, being in his house. When you're reading the word, God, help me to understand what I'm reading. What is it I need from this, God? You care about me, Maria, right now, God. You care about me. So, God, you know what I need more than what I know what I need. I think I need this and that and the other. I think I just need Reuben to straighten up, you know. But it's not just Reuben straightening up. I mean, let's just get honest. You know, when you're married, you always think it's the other one. If they just do this, if he'd just come home early, if he'd just come home every, I know, just work 2 days a week. That's what we think. It's always the other person. But why is it there's other people going through the same situation, but they're doing it with God, and they're not, they're the ones counseling you. They're the ones helping you. Because they've learned how to get more of God, and how to depend on Him, and how to get God to meet their need. And that's what we want to help you to do. Do you follow me? Do you understand? Anybody have anything to say? You know what, Reuben? I love you. And I'm so glad you said that. That's the second thing you said today that I heard that just jumped at me in my spirit. And I really appreciate that. I'm thinking, this week God brought to my mind to start doing a discipleship class. I'm praying about it. I'm not telling you we're doing it. But to start doing a discipleship class
number one, for new believers. Number two, for anybody that wants to be strengthened in their walk and learn basics as if you just got saved. And now let's start learning how to walk right from Jump Street. Do you know that you could be running with God? You could be stronger and more mature in God having just got saved than somebody who's been with God for 20 years. I told you, my preacher's wife, a year after I got in church, came to me and she said, I've never seen anybody's life change so dramatically, so far, so fast. She said, you are a walking miracle. God is just like just exploding out of you all the time. It's not because it was Harvey. It's because I made choices that I challenge you with. If I was to die today and stand before God and God would say to me, why should I let you into heaven? What would my answer be? See, right now, when I say that to some of you, you get a look of fear. I don't know. I don't want to move. I'm afraid to move. If he said that, whoa, I don't even want to think about it. Ooh. Let's get beyond that to get to where you have confidence in what the Bible says, and you know down in your heart, down in your belly, you know you're going to heaven. Not because you hope so, you think so, you're trying, you're doing your best, you're working on it, but you know it. Wouldn't you want to know that? But let's get even beyond that to a place to where I know how to help other people to know it. Remember? True religion, being others-minded, caring about where is this young lady going to spend eternity? What's going on in her life? How can we help her? You understand? And this isn't just, you come here because, part of the reason you come here is because you see that or sense that in us. But it's really because it stirs something in you and you want it. You really want to be there yourself. Right, Maria? I know. So it's got to happen. How are we going to get there? Because I've known a lot of you for a long time, but are you further along than where you were? Or would you like to be a lot further along than where you are? So what's going to be different? Let's make some choices today. Let's make some decisions today. Not, I'm going to think about it. You've already thought about it. How much longer do you need to think about it? We're not Congress. We don't need to vote on it. We don't need to argue and have filibusters. Kick that filly right in the buster, okay? Make that decision today. Jesus, you are going to be my life. Jesus, I'm going to be in your house when the doors are open. Not just Sunday morning, whenever the doors are open. See, I was praying about doing a discipleship class. What if I said, I want to start doing a discipleship class or a growth class, or I don't care what you want to call it. Okay, but it's going to help you. It's going to help anybody that comes. What if I said I want to start doing it at 9:45 on Sunday morning? And the reason I say 9:45 instead of 10, because if I say 9:45, maybe you'll be here by 10. Let's get real. And besides, church starts at around 11, so I want to have at least an hour. You know what I mean? Because it's not just me talking, but it's, number one, getting to know the other people in the class, fellowshipping, talking about what's going on with you that week. You know, what are things you're going through? How did you handle that? Okay? Okay, your grandmother died. How did you handle that? Okay, your electric was shut off. How did you handle that? Okay, your daughter backmouthed or your husband backstabbed or whatever. How did you handle that? Can we pray for you? Can we be here for you? Can we help you? You understand? But when I prayed, I said, Lord, when would we do it? Sunday morning? 10 o'clock? And I thought, it needs to be 9:45 is what I kept thinking. And I thought, who would show up? Last week, my wife said, who would like to learn how to minister, how to pray for people? Nobody showed up. We're not mad at anybody. We're not disappointed.
We're just like, we want things for people, but you've got to want it. Do you understand? You could say you want it all day, but until you make it a decision, every journey begins with a single step. You have to take a step. Faith is an action word. You have to move. Well, I believe. How did that help you? Because you believe that. You have to take a step in that direction. You believe, and because you believe, you take a step. Does that make sense? That's what faith is. Faith is an action word. Faith is moving on what God says. In faith, you begin to build your faith as you read and hear the Word. When you come here, it encourages you. You get encouraged. You hear the Word. You get loved on. You get believed in. It encourages you. But now we got to do something with it. You understand? Yes? Yes? Let's look at that verse again. James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled. No spot in it. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is before God the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to see somebody else's need and to go to meet it. That doesn't mean just because you see a need you're supposed to go do something. It means you're supposed to be willing in your walk with God. John, gotta be Jesus again. As you're hanging out with Jesus and he shows you a need. Tim needs to go to the doctor this week, Harv. 3:00. Can you pick him up? Yeah, I can try to do that. And then my wife, so it's like I'm hanging out and God draws my attention and says, Tim has a need. Would you meet it? And then I say, yes, yes, Lord. But see, I'm hanging out with him. And then when he shows it, I say, yes, Lord. You can't go and meet everybody's need. You've got to ask God, what do you want me to do? But you've got to be willing to hug somebody. You've got to be willing to care about somebody. You've got to be willing to lay your life down. Does that make sense? Yes, sir. Say that again. Being ready for any good works that God wants to do through you. In other words, how's the word say? Do unto others as you would have done unto you. Wow. It's almost like it's in the Bible, huh? And I wonder why I was saying all this. Jesus, right now, we want to make a decision. Do you have decisions to make? Right now, Jesus, we want to make a decision. Jesus, I want to be a doer of your word and not just a hearer, somebody who says, I agree with it, but doesn't do anything with it. I want my life to change. Show me the first step. Show me how to get closer to you. Show me what I need to do, step by step, choice by choice. How do I get closer to you? How do I become like you? Jesus, I need you. I want you. Thank you that you want me. Thank you that you care about me. Thank you for inviting me in your life, in your home. Thank you for including me in this family. Lord, help me to see and to take the next step you want me to do. And I commit my life into your hands. I'm asking you to do it in me. I'm just going to cooperate with you. I'm not going to try to do it for you. I want you to come do it in me, Jesus. And I'm inviting you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.